An elven warrior trapped on modern-day Earth. Two friends with different destinies meet at a magical school. These are some of the stories we at Electric Lips Comics are working on. You can get your copies of both The Mana Chronicles and Tales of Mithril at elpmerch.com. Support independent creators. Explore the merch featuring exciting ELP Comics art with a wide range of designs. Electric Lips Comics. Imagination electrified.
Welcome to the Mostly Pottered at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host, Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 130, that's 130 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. This week, we look at how the same story was adapted three different ways in three different decades, all containing blockbuster stars of their respective eras, and all deviating ever so slightly in their own unique ways. These are the films officially adapted from the original I Am Legend book by Richard Matheson. There's other, obviously, a lot of other books that are inspired by, but these are the ones that are officially, like, they have them listed in the credits as being, you know, whatever, based on.
Got permission on, like, you know, Nosferatu.
Correct. and those three movies are The Last Man on Earth, 1964 with Vincent Price, The Omega Man, 1971 with Charlton Heston, and I Am Legend with Will Smith from 2007. Now, Last Man on Earth and The Omega Man are, I guess, technically only 7 years apart. But it does not feel like seven years. it feels like a lot longer than that because they are very, very different. But I guess we will see in the future here. But I will start in on The Last Man on Earth, which I would argue is probably the most true to the book. I mean, it doesn't really deviate much. The story is pretty the same.
Yeah, there's minute things of like how the dog acts. That's one of the minor things that changes, but
yeah, I mean, again, it's you know, translating something from book to film. I mean, it basically does. I mean, like, you know, all of his narrating is done in his head, which is, you know, odd for this time period, but that's how the book was, you know, because he had no one to talk to. So.
Oh, and it works for Vincent Price. That's spoiler alert.
Right. But that's essentially, I'd say the most faithful adaptation is The Last Man. So essentially we start out with Vincent Price is, you know, as the title would suggest, the last man on earth. He is, you know, living alone in his house. You know, we see his day to day where he, you know, goes and like gets gas for his generators in his car, and he's making steaks like, you know, like vampire steaks on a lathe that he's got in his living room. You know, basically he's just going his day to day, like going to get garlic from the grocery store because he's got to keep putting garlic on his at his door, go get mirrors from the mirror store. I wasn't aware they had mirror stores, but
hey, 1964 was a different time.
I guess so. They had like, a guy could afford to have a mirror store. That's the only thing he sells is different kinds of mirrors. So, you know, he does all that stuff. But anyway, he's preparing because every night. I mean, I guess they're vampires, right? But they really act just like zombies.
They're vampire zombies.
I mean, they're supposed to be vampires, but they act like zombies. But they're I guess they're slightly smarter than zombies because they do use like wood tools. Not smart enough to like, you know, use anything more than a club, but at least they can use a club.
But they are affected by all the vampire lore.
Right. Yeah. So like, you know, garlic and the stake through the heart kills them, all that kind of stuff.
Weak in sunlight.
Right. But they can, like, I get limited speech. You know, I mean, they have some form of intelligence, but, you know, not a lot.
That's probably Morgan.
Right. Right. So we get kind of like, you know, flashback backstories. We find out that he was a doctor, an army, like a scientist, an army scientist. Actually, I don't know. Do they say he's an army scientist? They just say he's a scientist, right?
Correct. He works for Mercer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just a scientist. But anyway, he's, you know, a chemical person trying to find a cure for this plague before it kills the whole world. And he did not succeed. So, you know, so he's the last man on Earth, and he's just kind of like trying to survive and trying to, like, you know, put all the people to rest. He's trying to, like, you know, go house to house, like trying to, you know, kill all the vampires and trying to, like, you know, rid the Earth of this plague or whatever. So essentially he just does that until one day he sees a woman, like a woman walking around during the daytime. Again, the vampires can't go out during the day. So seeing another person running around in the sunlight, he, like, you know, chases her down and tackles her. And she's, like, you know, fighting against them, and he brings her to his house, and she's still kind of like fighting against them until she eventually, you know, says, oh yeah, you know, I'm just another person. I was scared because, you know, I haven't seen another person in so long. And very shortly after that, we find out that she is a vampire, but, some of the vampires are experimenting and they figured out some kind of, it's not a cure, but it's a way for them to go out during the day.
It's a band-aid, essentially, right. So they can talk normally and
I think some of them kept higher intelligence, because obviously, like, the zombie clubbing people would not be able to, like, develop medicine.
Right. And he does mention that, you know, when he's driving around, that there's the weaker ones are laying in the middle of the street. So there are definitely different levels of
right. Disease. So these are ones that I'm guessing were just hiding from him and working in secret. And they came up with this medicine, and it lets her walk around during the day. And she and her job was essentially to get her to bring him home so they could know where he was. And that they were going to, like, attack him. And she is, you know, like, trying to warn him, like, hey, like, you know, what's going on. So anyway, he basically figures out, he does something with her blood or his blood, right?
Yeah, because he's immune.
Right.
And he was finding a way to actually fully cure her.
Right. Because he is fully cured, and that was because, well, he got bit by a vampire bat or something, and that's what, and somehow he got a weaker version of it, and that he fought it off, so he's got the antibody. So he figures out a way to make this cure, and then he gives it to her, so then she's, like, cured, but then she says, well, they're coming here to kill you anyway. Like, I can't stop him. You have to run away. And he kind of refuses. And then, you know, a big long fight happens, and they essentially chase him all around town while he's, like, trying to escape. Cause, you know, his wife is, like, in a coffin. He's the only one that he won't throw in the pit.
Yep.
Of all the burning bodies. So, like, they kind of chase him there, and they have a kind of a standoff, and then they stab him with a big spear thing, and then he essentially dies, but not before realizing that all of the people that he was killing were actual, like, people, and that he could have saved them, and instead he killed them all, and that's why all these other people hate him and want to kill him.
They view him as the monster.
Yeah, because he is the monster that was killing everyone during the day while they were just trying to survive. And so that, again, and that is how the book ends, where he realizes that he is the bad guy.
Right.
So the I Am Legend, meaning, like, not I am the good person triumphing over
evil. He's the boogeyman.
Meaning I am the bad guy that is making the world a worse place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's pretty accurate to the book. I mean, there's really not a whole lot. I mean, again, there's some nitpicky stuff, but again, that's just translating a book to the screen.
Right.
But more or less, it's the story as it was meant to be shown.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Anything else you want to...
No, I mean, let's face it. There's not a lot of stuff that happens, I'd say, in the first two-thirds of each movie.
No, like I said, it's basically following him around for his day-to-day stuff is like the first, I don't know, 45 minutes
right
of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... That's really it. I mean,
all three of these movies.
Honestly. Yeah, it's fun to watch that, but there's not a whole lot to explain unless you want me to go over like every little thing that he does.
Want you to tell how he plugs in his coffee pot.
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of stuff. Like he gets he goes to lathe some wood, and then he's just like, oh, what does it matter? Because he's very dramatic.
Oh yes, he's Vincent Price.
Yeah, so like stuff like that. Again, it's like back and forth. Like obviously he's struggling being the last person on Earth. So when he sees the dog and he's like, oh my god, a dog! He chases the dog all over the place, and then like he finally brings the dog in, and the dog is dead.
Yep,
and he's very upset.
Yes, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. These synopses are going to be short just because, like I said, it is the same movie three times.
Right. And like I said, the story itself is pretty basic. As a book, there's a lot of explanations and talking. And we get flashbacks of like Vincent Price treating his wife like a typical early 60s housewife.
You go down and read the newspaper. Let me put on my coat, robe.
Yeah, my house coat.
Yeah.
I'm dying of the plague, you go read your newspaper and I'll make you breakfast. Like,
he's really? Like, thanks, dear.
Yeah. I really want you to let her sleep, dude. And the daughter is sick and he's like, don't call the doctor. You can't expect her not to do that. But anyway, it's not really adding anything overall to the story. But
no, it's trying to humanize him.
Right.
Yeah. So do you even recall the first time you watched this? Because I don't.
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I saw the Omega Man before I saw this one. But I honestly have no idea. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, like I said, this was probably getting my hands on every Vincent Price movie I could and watching it back, I'd say the 90s.
That's what I did with Charlton Heston. I watched like all the Charlton Heston movies around the same time. I don't think I even found out that like Last Man on Earth was the same story as the Omega Man until years later when I finally watched it.
For me, it was because The Simpsons, when the Treehouse of Horrors was the Homer Man, and it was like, this is, I was watching it, I'm like, growing up, I'm like, this seems like The Last Man on Earth, but it's not. And then it took me a while to figure out that the Omega Man was this and is actually based off of that, with the skin lesions in the eyes.
I remember I read the book a long time ago. There was like this list that I had. It was like the most famous science fiction horror stories you should read.
Yeah.
One of those kind of lists. And it was on the list that I read. This was like back in high school. And I read it then. I had no idea that the Omega Man was based on it. I really didn't. Cause unless you know it, you can't really tell. The Last Man on Earth, I did know that it was based on it. And it's, like I said, it's pretty accurate to the book.
Right.
And that was definitely before I Am Legend came.
Yeah, I never read the book, but like I said, I know the story kind of inside out from this, but on the rewatch, it said it's probably been 25 years since I watched this. you know. But no, it's, you know, I think for it being what it is, I think it holds up really well. As you said, it's, you know, from what you talk about and what I see in the book and what people are saying online, that there's like such minute differences that doesn't matter from the book to the movie.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, it's odd for, I mean, rare, I guess, for the 60s to have mm-hmm. something like that, like just book accurate like that.
Right.
I mean, you don't usually get that at all. But.
Right. And that's why we usually get remakes, is because like, oh, everyone's like, this is more accurate to the book. And I'd argue that they get less accurate as they go on.
Right.
So do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, Vincent Price, I mean, obviously the movie is like all Vincent Price, so mm-hmm. he carried it pretty well on his shoulders. Again, I thought the internal monologue was pretty interesting. They don't really do that much. I mean, they might do that for like an intro to a movie, but they never like keep going with it, which I thought was fun. And again, it's book accurate, so that's, there you go.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Vincent Price, this is where he thrives at stuff like this too, right? He is able to carry it fairly well, you know, and that's why as you said, at the top of this, it's, you know, blockbuster stars, and he was the star of horror movies in this era, and they used him well.
He was like, one of the only stars.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that they talk about this being essentially carried on the wind, but they also call it germs. So it's essentially vampire germs, which is.
Also, yeah, all of the movies go back and forth calling it bacteria or a virus. And it's like
two different things.
Yeah, those are two very different things. They're treated two very different ways. Like, you guys got to like lock this shit down.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, this felt like it could have been a Twilight Zone episode. You know, and I liked it for that. So, I like that. I think it's funny with, like, essentially when he attacks some of them with garlic, like, he flat out attacks them. I thought that was funny. I laughed at that.
Well, yeah, again, I don't really, there's discussions to have later, but
yes. And it depends on how you look at it, right? So you'd say, oh, this is a bad ending for our protagonist, but in comparison to everyone else there, like, he was the monster. He was, you know, he had the kid crying at the end. It's like, it's okay, the bad man is dead. And it's just, I think it's rare for us to be following someone for that long and find out that he's kind of the villain.
Well, I mean, he's not doing it to be a villain.
No, he's not. But I just thought it was interesting. I also like that he was, like, you know, meticulously going through sections of the city and clearing stuff out to protect himself. That way there's less and less and less. So for Bean had, you know, essentially 3 years since it happened, he's doing decent for himself. And not going completely mad. So I think he pulls that off.
Well, for 3 years, sure.
Yeah.
He's not doing well after three. I'd hate to see him after 10.
Right. I'll roll into my low points. Grow garlic, you idiot.
Well, yeah.
I told you that a couple days ago. I'm like, that's going to be on there. Like, he's like, oh, I'm running out of garlic. Grow it. It's not hard.
Yeah, just plant it. Like, if it keeps them away from your house, just plant it. Let it overgrow around your house.
Yeah. It's garlic is the seed. You plant it. You're right. Done. You don't worry about, like, losing its potency after 3 years sitting in the fridge. Like, come on. And even then, have you ever let garlic sit out? It will grow. I think we'll get into it more later on, but agriculture, man, you should be able to do that. I'm calling them single use wooden stakes.
Well, he does kind of, he does explain that if you pay attention to what he says. He says that when he stabs him with the spike or with the stake, it separates the skin enough to where they can't regenerate.
But he could take him out before throw him into, they're not in them when he throw him into the pit. So
well, I think, yeah, but they could, they might be able to crawl away or walk away or maybe hide or something. So
maybe
he leaves the stakes in. I mean, he has an unlimited number. He just has to make them.
Right. It seems like he starts doing it. He's like, oh, this thing again.
Well, yeah, because the thing was loud as hell.
I know. The dubbing in this movie was atrocious, especially the flashback scene.
Well, it's 1964.
Of course, the poor dog. Just to get covered in crap and to die.
That dog was fine.
And then being bitten by a vampire bat is the ultimate vaccine against this worldwide catastrophe.
That's what the book says. That's literally what the book says.
It's still stupid as hell.
Well, I mean, okay. A lot of people would argue that vampires are stupid as hell.
I mean, yeah.
So
but
I don't think you're winning one there.
Yeah, but I think that was just interesting. That was the why he was immune to it.
Yeah, well, and the book, in the book, it just says like he doesn't know why.
Right.
He just says he thinks it might have something to do. Like back when he was in the army, he got bit by a vampire bat and he got sick, and then he got better. He's like, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah,
but that's it. That's all he says. He doesn't say that he knows that's why he's.
Yeah, and what kind of wind is able to carry a virus across from Europe to America? Usually wind does not blow that way.
I mean, it's called a boat, or it's called a plane.
Yeah, I guess.
It's 1964. It's not the 1800s.
Yeah. That's all I got from low points. How about you?
What is the garlic in the mirrors doing?
Well, the garlic is supposed to repel them, and vampires don't show up in mirrors. Therefore, they don't like them.
Right. Well, I'm saying, like, he has to keep replacing the mirrors because they keep breaking them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's literally doing nothing. You're just pissing them off. And two, the guy that's beating on his window every night is standing, like, 2 feet away from the garlic.
Yes.
Obviously, it doesn't bother him that much. Like, why don't you just, like, move? Why don't you just go somewhere else where they don't know where you are?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't understand what the garlic and the mirror is doing. Like, it's just, it's completely pointless.
I think it in his head, this is what he thinks vampires are afraid of because, you know, his brother-in-law or brother-in-law, right? The guy he was working. Yeah. It's like they're vampires. Therefore.
Well, no, I mean, he knows that they're allergic to garlic because he does it to the woman.
Right.
Because when she was just out with their drug that lets them walk in the air, she was still like terrified of garlic or hurt or whatever. She was like going, oh, oh.
Yeah.
And then like after he gave her the cure, she was like, she was fine. So right. There is an actual repellent of garlic, but like it literally has to be touching you.
Yep.
So like if it has to be touching you, like putting it on your door, like you can still grab the door handle and open it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand what it was doing. Like, why are you wasting your time doing all this shit? It's literally doing nothing. Like, if it was keeping them away, like, 10 feet away, like, okay, at least that's something. Like, the dude was standing less than 2 feet away.
Oh, he visits his house every night and bangs on his house.
And he was standing less than 2 feet away from the garlic. Like, dude, it ain't working. Get something else. And then, like, dude, he was, like, single-handedly, like, manhandling, like, 10 of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how are these dangerous? Like, what are you afraid of? Just like when they show up to your house, go outside and literally like beat them to death with a crowbar. And then you're done for the night.
Yeah.
You know, eventually they'll learn to stop coming by your house. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I don't understand what the point of, I don't know. They're so weak. He was just like literally stiff arming them and they're flipping over.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then his poor wife and that child could not act to save their fucking lives.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, well, the wife, she was okay, but she was like so 60s housewife, it hurt. And the child was like, I'm sick. I'm gonna strangle this kid. But yeah, they were terrible.
Yes.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. So what are olives this episode?
Blood vials. there's blood vials in all these movies.
Yes. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. Like I said, I enjoy this movie. I mean, is it definitely a product of the 60s? Yes. Yes, it is. But still a classic, and I think a quintessential, like, I don't know, early pandemic movie that I can recall. I don't remember many before this that weren't plague, obviously, right? But set in the 60s. And it's you know, we're looking at 60 years later, essentially, now. I think it holds up pretty well, but there is definitely some issues with it. But I will still give it 7 blood vials out of 10. How about you?
Yeah. Almost there. I'd give it 6.5 blood vials out of 10. It's you know, fun, but you know, not one I want to rewatch often.
I mean, you have to see it at least once. But
yeah, it's not a bad movie.
No. My number lock was on there, so it was just like moving stuff around.
Okay, so. Now, this is the culture shock here, because we only move forward 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
7 years. This is 64 to 71. And this movie feels like it's like 30 years later. I mean, Last Man on Earth is in black and white. Omega Man is in color. I mean, it's it is mind blowing. I mean, it is mind blowing just the difference in culture. In presentation, obviously the color is different, but yeah, so for 7 years it feels a hell of a lot different than that.
Yes. Yeah, so I said essentially it's the same movie. This time we get Charlton Heston. He's essentially living in a penthouse now, you know, multiple floors up. It's, which is, you know, smarter, because they have a lot harder ways to get to you. And we're kind of going through his same stuff of him going around and his day-to-day life. He sells the generator, you know, he goes and watches. Poor guy has to watch Woodstock enough, the movie, enough times that he knows it line by line. Yeah, and he's just kind of going there, and he realized that, you know, he gets back to his house and, you know, he kind of does the same thing, but there's this time they're like albino mutants. Is the best way to describe it, right?
Well, yeah.
Skin lesions and, you know, really bad contact lenses, but full vocabulary, and they wear sunglasses.
Right.
Yeah, and that's kind of where he's at. And, you know, I think the kind of first time him coming home, it, you know, it's getting a little bit late, is they attack him, start throwing, you know, Molotov cocktails at him. He gets able to kill him. He has nice machine guns to, or I'm sure you know their actual gun, but he's able to mow them down.
Well, again, for having access to like armories and shit, he picks some really shit guns.
that's fair. But you know, we gotta get his backstory is he's an army scientist or armed forces scientist. And you know, it is also kind of the same story of it going around there and people dying, but it, I feel like it kind of happens pretty fast in this movie that they get turned or die in comparison. It's like accelerated.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, you know, 95% of the world, just like dies
like within minutes. Cause he said right. Like the symptoms, like he was showing, you know, New York City or whatever city is, maybe it's New York still. And like, oh, it starts with a cough. There's a group of people coughing, and then it just like keel over immediately.
Well, yeah, they said it like you feel it, and like it hits you immediately, and then you start suffocating, and then you go unconscious,
mm-hmm.
and then very shortly afterwards you die. So it's like you're down and out like within minutes of like finally being actually sick, and then I think you'd like totally die soon afterwards, because but you get knocked unconscious way before that.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's immune because he gives himself the experimental vaccination to this.
After so surviving a helicopter crash.
Pretty damn well. Not just a crash, an explosion.
Yeah. And he's like unscathed.
His pants were torn, sir.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's the family is like, they almost look like Dr. Strangelove, what the leader does, essentially, with the hairstyle. But it's, you know, everyone is just, you know, ash white and everyone's sunglasses, nice 70s sunglasses. But essentially, they're trying to hunt him down. They're like, well, we could, they're like, hey, we could get these things. Like, no, he is a slave to the machines and his gadgets and doodads.
Well, yeah, but it's essentially what happens is the dude becomes their leader and makes the family by uniting them in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And the cult is like, we're going to survive because we're not going to repeat the sins of the past.
Right.
And that includes using science and knowledge and of the past. They're going to like wipe all that away. They're going to become Luddites and destroy all the machines. Right. Yeah. So that's what they're doing. And they're, like, as he sees from his penthouse window, they're always like burning libraries and like museums and stuff. Right.
Yeah. And all this was because of a war between China and Russia, too. It was like a biological war that started this. So we actually have like an explanation kind of for this time around instead of just some mysterious disease.
Yeah, it's a loose thing.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I mean, well, none of these movies. Well, I take that back. The last one does tell you where it comes from. But the first two here do not really tell you where it comes from at all.
Yeah, they just say it's because of that.
Right.
But essentially, so, you know, he's kind of going day to day. He's holding off. He's shooting them left and right, but they still want to kill him because he is, quote, the last man that they just need to get rid of him. And he does go out to, you know, shopping, and, you know, there's just a woman pretending to be a mannequin there.
Right. It's like extremely obvious. She's like trembling and stuff. It's like, okay. Do you honestly think that you're going to pretend to be a mannequin? Come on.
Yeah. And then she's like, he eventually takes her out. But yeah, he doesn't see her right away though. Right.
No.
She runs away, but yeah,
she runs away and she gets away, and then he gets captured by them because he stays out too late trying to find her.
Right.
So they capture him and then are going to execute him in a baseball field.
Yeah.
And then he gets saved by her and her friend because they turn on the lights in the baseball stadium and all the people, like, you know, because they can't stand light. So they all like scatter and run away.
Right. So there's other people alive. It's essentially a couple of guys, maybe 9 children.
Yeah, it's literally, yeah, there's yeah, Charlton Heston, like one other adult guy, and then one adult woman, and then the rest of them are children.
Yeah, they're like, you should hang out with us. Like, no, I'm working on a cure. And he's, you know, taking blood samples from himself and trying to synthesize it, and he's actually trying to still work on the cure for it. Right. I'd say different than Vincent Price. Vincent Price was just kind of living.
Yeah, well, I think that Charlton Heston was just living too, because I think he thought everyone was fucking dead.
Yeah.
And then now that he realized that there's still some normal people out there that need help, then he goes back to work.
Yeah.
And immediately discovers the cure.
Right. So yeah, I think they said that, I think there's some hint to that, like, the young were able to stave off the sickness a bit. I think they've said some explanation about like why they're so young that survivors were.
Well, they said that some of the younger people were surviving better because they had some kind of like, you know, hereditary immunity or something. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But again, there's only a total of like 11 alive people. So it's really like they could be just freakily immune. Some people are just immune to things.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they said that they all are still infected and they all will still like show symptoms. They're just going really slowly.
Right. So eventually she's like, hey, I got to take care of this. I think I have the cure. And of course the last adult female joins him and, well, he forgets how to have sex, but they still have sex anyway. And then she's just kind of becoming part of his life and they're acting like a couple. And, you know, the secondhand man of the leader is trying to like, hey, I'm going to go up there and kill him. And they try to climb up there. He gets shot to death. And like, okay, they still kind of staved off the attack, but they're still trying to figure out like, hey, this is going to take years for me to do. We have to find out other ways of doing this. And I think they capture one of the kids, right?
That's her brother.
That's her brother. And he starts turning, but he's able to cure him.
Yeah, he eventually decides that he's not going to be able to make a vaccine, so he just tries to pull the cure out of his own blood.
Yeah, and synthesize it, but he realizes he realizes he doesn't have enough blood to keep it up, so he actually, you know, cures the kid and is able to synthesize stuff from him as well. That's right.
Well, he says, yeah, the more people get the cure, the more people that have it, the more we'll be able to produce.
Right. So eventually then, you know, Lisa goes out like, I'm going to get new clothes. And lo and behold, well, the reason why she's wearing sunglasses and covered up hair while she was going out was because she got sick and infected. So essentially she, I would say, kind of turns him in to the family. Right.
Well, no, the her brother does.
And then he gets killed.
Yeah, the brother, he gets completely cured. Like his albinism goes away, his eyes go back to normal, and it was explained that the kid and the Lisa, his sister, were part of the family before when the family were the only survivors out there, and then the family kind of turned against them when they found out that they weren't turning, like the rest of them.
Right.
So then they left. So they knew where they hung out. They knew all their ways because they had been with them for a while. So the kid goes back to where they are to tell them, hey, he's got the cure. He can make you all better. You don't have to live like this.
And they're like, tough shit.
Yeah. And so the guy just goes, well, you know, fuck you, and kills him.
Yeah.
And then we don't see this. This happens off screen. But Lisa shows up, goes back to the family when she gets sick. And he explains to her that, oh, yeah, we had to kill your brother. It was for his own good. And she's like, OK, because like when you're sick, I guess it like it doesn't make you like a zombie. Like you still have some intelligence, but you become like
feral.
Like, yeah, like kind of like, you know, yeah, lower intelligence, like easily gullible and stuff like that. And the only guy that seems to have kept his intelligence is the leader guy.
Right. So eventually they and go attack Charlton Heston. And you know, spear him to a fountain, and he's there. You know, this is after he told, you know, the other survivor and the kids to go there and get the cure. But Lisa still lives. He still happens to stay, not be bleeding out throughout the entire night. Gives a vial of his blood to him. It's like, you got the cure now. Go, and, you know, cure Lisa and all this stuff, and synthesize it. He dies. They leave his blood. End of movie.
Right.
I'd say the biggest contrast is obviously how they're not really vampires, right? I mean, they still don't like sunlight, but they're more mutations than anything else.
Well, it's more like something like a actual plague would do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost call it neurological plague as well, just because it does change. Yes, it physically changes them, so they don't like the sunlight, changes their eyes, but neurologically it changes them too. But not even close to what most of the vampire zombies were in Last Man on Earth and what we will see in the next one as well.
Right.
So, most human-like in this one.
Yes.
Now, you said you had seen this. Was this when you were going through all your Charlton Heston stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I had seen this, back in high school. I mean, I had seen, you know, this and Soylent Green and, you know, Planet of the Apes and all those movies around the same time.
Right.
So yeah, I've seen this movie several times over several decades.
This for me actually may be the first time seeing it not on for TV. Because I definitely don't remember her naked when I saw it the first time. So this may be the first time watching it all the way through that wasn't, like I said, on like a sci-fi spectacular in the 90s. But yeah, I would say, though, when I first time I watched this, I did not think this was related to Last Man on Earth in any way, shape, or form.
No, when I first watched it, I had no idea. I just thought it was, well, you know, one of those Charlton Heston type stories.
Right. Right. He seems to do a couple of those where it's a dystopian future.
Right.
But no, I like, you know, having to now be able to watch this back to back, as you said, the 7-year difference, it's a world difference in the film industry.
Yeah. No, it's like two different worlds. It's like, yeah, you can see the, just the amount of changes that happened in just those 7 years. It blows your mind.
Yes. Yeah. But if you think 70s sci-fi horror, then you have the 70s sci-fi tropes that are there with, I wouldn't say blaxploitation, but a little bit.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Rosalind Cash, the Lisa, she did a lot of blaxploitation movies around that time period, so you're not wrong in thinking that.
But, yeah, and like I said, the 60s one felt so much older in comparison to this.
Well, it's just two different worlds of filmmaking. You know what I mean? It's like Last Man on Earth was made in the old world Hollywood, right? Literally in black and white.
Right.
And then you have the Omega Man made in 71 in New Hollywood, not even, you know, 7 years later.
Yeah.
Totally different world. Totally different way of making
it. And it works. Because if you thought, like, oh, I'm remaking Last Man on Earth 7 years later, you'd be like, why?
What are you talking about?
But no, it works in this case.
Well, it's different enough and so culturally different that it really, unless you were told, you probably wouldn't notice.
Yeah. So I'll go first with my highlights. Mutated vampires this time around, I think that's interesting. It was just a different take on it. So it was, like I said, it was different enough, so I appreciate that. Aussie Charlton Heston, he did fantastic in this. He was his every character he plays in this time period, but it wasn't even a comparison to Vincent Price. They seem like two different characters.
Well, they're named differently.
Yes, that's one of the differences in the Last Man on Earth, that his last name was different.
Yeah, his name was like Morgan. Robert Morgan
instead of Robert Neville.
Yeah,
but it stays Neville, you know, in this one, the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially a bad ending of this movie too. We don't know.
Well, I mean, at least there's some survivors.
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that when they get into the penthouse, they just start like slicing at the art and hacking it up too. Like, fuck art.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, if you don't want your society to culturally change, you destroy and prevent art.
Well, then they shouldn't be wearing those sunglasses, right?
Wow.
I know. They did that so they didn't have to show their eyes. They had to wear the contacts the
entire time. Exactly. Because, like, this is 71. Like, those, yeah, they can have contacts, but you cannot wear those things all day. Like, those are painful contacts.
Right. And in this timeline, it's supposed to be, like, 1975.
Yes. Well, no, it's supposed to be 78.
Oh, wow.
Or 77, because the thing happened in 75, so that's when the calendar stops.
So it's still 3 years.
Yeah. So it's 3 years after that, so it's supposed to be, like, 78, but I think they said it was 77.
That distant future.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, that's, I mean, obviously it was updated visually, graphics, a little bit more, you know, obviously gore this time around. So I think it did well, but those are my highlights. How about yours?
We already talked about the 7 year difference. I'm not going to harp on it any more than that. If you haven't seen them, you should watch them back to back. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
It'll blow your mind. Just tell yourself this is only 7 years. It's crazy. But again, I did like the plague bears and how they were like Luddites, you know, how they were, you know, they could have, you know, tried to live a better life and tried to like help themselves or help him help them you know, but instead they became like this weird cult mob.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story. It's an interesting presentation. I do love that we get some 70s jive in this movie.
That we definitely do.
That's awesome. I mean, it's only really like a couple of scenes, but it's still funny as hell.
Yeah.
And again, you know, for 71, we give an interracial love scene. I know it's not the first movie to do it. At least I don't think it is. But it's still pretty rare around this time period. And it was pretty cool that Charlton Heston himself was doing it. So I thought that was pretty fun. That's it for highs. I'll go to the lows here. Charlton Heston at the beginning, he's wearing like the Great White Hunter outfit.
Yes,
I don't know if they were like doing that on purpose as a statement type of thing, but he's literally wearing like the Great White Hunter khakis, which I thought was kind of a weird presentation to put him in for that. But again, okay, now if you say all technology is bad, right? Everything is technology. Right? I mean, like the clothes they were wearing, some of them cloaks were sparkly and shit, man. I know you did not make those by hand. Like, no. So where does it stop? Like, you know, I'm always mystified by that. Like, oh, technology is bad. We need to get rid of technology. Like, okay, well, where's the line?
Right.
You know, where's that line? Like the Amish, right? They have the similar kind of rules, and their rule is not necessarily we hate technology. Their rule is if it takes away from like the wholeness of the community, then we get rid of it.
Right.
And they have like rulings on different things. Like, so, you know, they have at least of a plan here, but these guys are like, all technology is bad.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you're using a spear. Like, to put the metal on the end of a piece of wood, that's technology. Like,
yes,
you may not think that, but it is. So like, where's the line? And then they're using catapults.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like what, the Middle Ages is where you're cutting this off at? Like, what are you talking about? And then they couldn't have been holding on to that too long because the one dude had a gun.
Yes.
He didn't use it, but he still had a gun, right? Like, what? Like, so obviously you're not fighting too hard for this ideal if you have a gun and you're willing to kill the guy with the gun. That was the whole reason he said, we can't kill him the easy way. We have to do it our way. Because we're making a statement, and this guy's like, yeah, I'll just shoot him. Like, you're not even getting the point, dude.
Correct.
You're supposed to be the second guy in charge. I will say Charlton Heston took off his shirt way too many times.
He should just kept it off.
I know. He'd be like, why do you even bother putting a shirt on?
Yeah.
The awkward love scene, uh-huh. I guess, between them. It was odd. You can tell the characters, like the actors, I don't think had a lot of chemistry.
No.
But it was interesting, I guess. But yeah, there's a lot of things here. I'll say this, like, okay, yeah, he lives on the fourth floor of the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're launching firebombs into his windows, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't you light the first floor on fire?
What? You think fire goes up?
Just like, if you're really trying to kill him and you're not trying to save everything, which, again, if you're catapulting firebombs in a window, I don't think you care. Like, light the bottom floor on fire.
Yes.
I mean, I'm like sitting there going, like, does that break the rules? No, they're literally using Molotov cocktails and trying to light them on fire. Like, why won't you just set the first floor on fire? I don't understand it. I was just like blown away. I don't know if that they just didn't think that far ahead in the writer's room. But yeah, it was that's fun. So that's all I got.
I understand wanting to go see a movie and have a normal life, but that Woodstock movie looked atrocious. I would not want to sit there and watch it every day or however many times you watch it.
Well, you're not into the hippie counterculture movement or the music. So, yes, to you, that would be very uninteresting. To people in 1971, Woodstock had just happened 2 years prior to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're still going to be into that. Lots of people. I mean, fucking people are still into that shit.
Yeah. All right. I know this is the 70s, but we talk about this a lot. The music does not fit this movie in the slightest.
It fits if you know, okay, for 71 it fits because you're trying to put in that like funk jazz, you know, cultural music of the time. That does fit.
in the tone of the movie, it does not. I don't think, but
well, it depends on the scene, but yeah, most of the time, no.
The dude is in the helicopter, essentially passes out, like does this weird grab around the helicopter controls, crashes to the point of explosion, and he just gets up. Like, that's absurd. Like, yes, he has some blood in his arm and his pants, but like the helicopter you in fucking exploded.
Maybe he just waited till it was really close to the ground and then jumped out.
But he was passed out, so I don't think he did that.
You can't inject a vaccine in your leg if you're passed out, dude. He wasn't passed out.
That's fair. I like that. He's like, for the while, he's like, I won't cure them. I don't like them.
Like, right. Yeah, he was at it. He was straight up about that. He's like, fuck them.
Right. Like, wow. He has the ability to do it. He's like, no.
Well, to be fair, like later on, he softened. He was like, all right, well, maybe after we heal every one of you guys, maybe then I'll see if they want some.
Yeah, but before that, he's like, no, they're...
Yeah, he's like, fuck that.
They're vermin.
Well, okay, dude, if you've been, like, you're literally trying to save the world, right? Mm-hmm. And you're watching these assholes burn down fucking libraries and museums and places that are, like, culturally significant and, like, contain the history of humanity, I would be pissed, too.
I mean, that's fair.
I'd be like, if you burn down a fucking library, you can fucking die in the street. I would not piss on you if you're on fire.
Yeah. Like, but he should figure out a way.
I understand his feelings.
Figure out a way to like put it in like a dart and just blow dart the tranquilizer with the cure.
Well, put on his great white hunter outfit. Just go out with a big trank rifle.
Yeah. And then that weird TV, like, does he need to have his naked torso? Like,
God, well, what? Okay, but that had like two of the best jokes in the movie. Okay, the first time he turns it on, he's like, hey, big brother, how's your ass? Right?
Yeah,
that's funny. Okay, and the second one, she's like, why do you have this? He's like, because I'm a narcissist. Like, he, straight up, no, like, no hesitation.
Yeah,
like, that's why. There's two good jokes.
How much gas do you think is required to generate the entire fourth floor and fountain outside?
Well, there was the generator he had was like a hospital generator. I think he's fine.
Maybe you don't need to have all that stuff on the generator. Do you really need the fountain outside? It's going, hey, I'm here. I'm home. No,
well, it's to distract people.
I guess. But that's all I got. You want to go first for your number of blood vials out of 10?
Sure. Yeah. No surprise. I love this. I've seen this movie a bunch of times and I think it's fantastic. Do I think it's like the upper echelon of you know, horror films? No, but it's pretty great. I'm going to give it a solid eight blood vials out of 10.
Yeah. Like I said, this isn't a bad movie. It is, I'd say, in the mainstream, but like vocabulary of society at this point, that people may not know it, but I think they know if you show them like a mutant, they're like, oh yeah, that's, you know, Omega Man. Have they seen the movie? Probably not. But they at least know that part, probably because of The Simpsons, quite honestly. I don't think it's any better or any worse though than Last Man on Earth. I will give this one also a 7. Blood vials out of 10.
I mean, it's got an 8-track player.
It does.
Well, actually, several 8-track players.
There's a shit ton of them, yes.
And a lot of J and B. Like, okay, if I could drink whatever I wanted from an entire city, I don't think I'd be drinking J and B.
Yeah, I also like the fact that, like, the snack food aisle in all these movies are always full. They go to the supermarket.
I mean, you don't get as sexy as Charlton Heston by eating Twinkies every day. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair. That's fair. But, you know, don't be picky with food. Food calories are calories. You get around good stuff at some point in time. So. All right.
All right. So the last is, I think this movie was huge when it came out. It was a giant vehicle for Will Smith at the time. who was already a big star, but I feel like, I don't know if he peaked in this movie or what. I mean, it was a huge film.
I'm going to say, I don't know why.
I think it was just the hype. I think it was just the marketing around this time period. I think it was just how big Will Smith was at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was willing to make a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
With his stardom, right? Like, you know, people were expecting him to make movies like fucking Hitch or like Independence Day, you know, shit like that.
Right.
And then he does this, which, it's it's an action horror movie, right? Mm-hmm. Not too far outside of his wheelhouse. But again, there's a lot of acting by yourself. And yes. I think he took this role to kind of like show that he can actually act. You know, in a harder role. I don't know. I think it was just big at that time because of how big Will Smith was at that time, is what I'm pretty sure what it was. They were just selling that vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, it's been critically panned since, I think.
What has? I Am Legend?
Yeah.
No.
No?
I Am Legend was huge when it came out.
I'm saying like in today's world.
In today's world, the biggest thing that it's got going against it is it's a CGI movie.
Oh yeah,
it's like half the movie is CGI,
and the
CGI is, well, it was great at that time, but now it's 20 years later.
Yeah,
and you can see every piece of CGI in the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then, like they thought this is great, nobody will ever be able to tell, and then 20 years later. Everybody knows. So yeah. It doesn't hold up. It's a movie that was great when it came out. It did not hold up well because CGI made huge leaps and bounds in a very short amount of time after that. Watching it now, it's like, what the fuck? What happened? I mean, the performances are still good, but they sell half the movie on CGI. And it's like, you know.
Right.
That's the thing. I think they should have done a hell of a lot more practical stuff, but
yes, I agree.
But again, it was big studio money. It went big studio money at that time period was big CGI, you know, explosions and shit. And that's all that stuff we got.
Yeah.
So this one is not, I guess, all that much different. I mean, he's still Robert Neville. He's still an army colonel. He's still trying to develop the cure. This time we get a full explanation of what the virus is. So we're a doctor. It's funny because she's describing CRISPR before CRISPR was CRISPR.
Yes.
So it's essentially she uses CRISPR to try to cure cancer. And CRISPR ends up backfiring and becoming this virus that literally turns people. Well, he said it kills 95%. Or no, he said it killed 90% or 95%. I think he said 90%. He said it killed 90% of the world immediately.
Yep.
And then he said only 1% were immune and the other 9% became these vampires. Like, you know, well, they're more or less vampires. They become, you know, extremely sensitive to light where sunlight literally burns them. They're, you know, become of lower intelligence, more animalistic, more feral.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, basically hunt at night and stay inside during the day.
Yeah.
So the 1%, have mostly been wiped out by the vampires. Right. And he thinks he's the only one left. We see his day to day, you know, where he's, you know, clears house to house. He tries to hunt deer with an assault rifle in a fucking Mustang for some reason.
Down Times Square.
Right. Again, this is just a big showpiece to show you that the world has fallen apart.
It's interesting.
All these movies do this.
Like, you get actually feel like he's in New York City. Like, it feels city-like. It's not suburbia.
Right. Right. And again, most of the city is CGI and you can tell. it's a shame because the movie is pretty good. The performances are pretty good. It's just unfortunate that it's a big CGI vehicle and the CGI has aged to the point where it's not really all that fun to look at anymore. But okay, so yeah, he's going to his day-to-day thing just like the first two movies, right? Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, doing his thing, and he's got a dog, which was his kid's dog. The kid gave him the puppy to protect him, right? Yep. And it's heavily implied that they died in a helicopter crash about a minute after they were given the dog.
Correct.
I mean, literally, it's like right before the helicopters collide into each other, he like snaps out of the flashback. But it's like heavily implied that they died there.
Yep.
So he's heavily attached to this dog because it's the last part of his family that he has left. Mm-hmm. But essentially, he is still running trial. He's still developing vaccines and still running trials. He finds one drug that cures a mouse or rat, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he captures a vampire to test on that. And it, in the process of doing that, you know, like one of these vampires like tries to chase him out of the building, but can't. And he's like, you know, he sees it as they've fully devolved. Like they don't even give a shit about the sun anymore. They're just all about killing. So he thinks that their social ability has completely degraded.
In reality, this is where Zack Snyder got his idea for the zombie wife and husband.
What's happening is they're adapting.
Yes.
Right. And evolving and starting to show pack instinct and, you know, mating instinct, which is what happens.
Yes.
The original version of the film doesn't really show you that. I mean, I guess you can kind of imply it or infer it, right?
Well, they cut it because then the alternate ending would make more sense with it there.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the alternate ending makes sense for the whole film.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just kind of like you have to infer that's what's happening because it's mm-hmm. not shown to you. Anyway, so he captures one of them, does testing on it, and he thinks that it dies, so he brings it, you know, he injects more virus into it to bring it back. I don't know what happens there. Anyway, so he goes out and he had set up like a bunch of mannequins for him to like talk to pretend to be normal, and one of those mannequins is moved to like a different location, so he kind of panics and goes to check it out, and he gets trapped in the same trap that he set up to catch the vampire. He gets caught in the same trap
and gets knocked out until like night.
Right. Yeah. So he gets knocked out. He barely makes it back to his car. And then his dog gets bitten by another vampire dog.
Yep.
So he tries to give the dog the cure that cured the mouse. But he basically figures out that his dog is becoming a vampire dog and he has to kill it.
Yep.
Very sad.
Poor Sam.
Yeah. So at that point, he just kind of like loses it because that's basically the only link he had to his family is gone. So he goes out to like kill vampires.
Yep.
So he like goes out. He's like running him over with his truck and shit. And then he's about to like get killed. And then somebody saves him. It's a woman and a child save him.
With
and then
huge he gets bright lights.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets like knocked out and he wakes up the next day in his house with this lady and this child, and you know he has a hard time like talking to them, adapting to them.
Well, because they cooked his special bacon. Okay. Yeah.
Well, again, dude, if you like, I live alone, right?
Yeah.
If somebody came into my house and like cooked the drank the fancy rum I have in my cabinet, right? Like, I would be upset. You know, but that's
I know.
Yeah, overreacting, yes. But again, he's also been dealing with a lot, and especially he just lost his dog / family the day mm-hmm. before. So like, yeah, he's going through some rough shit. Overreaction, absolutely, but you know, cut him a break. So anyway, so you know, they basically realize that she is, they're survivors from some like Red Cross ship, and they're going to this conclave thing in Vermont where supposedly all the survivors are going, and he like freaks out, like there are no survivors, you know, everybody's dead. And so eventually they warm up to each other and they decide that, okay, the next day, the next morning, they're going to go try to find this thing in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that night they're attacked because the vampires had followed them home the night before because she wasn't careful enough, because the vampires did not know where he lived.
Right.
but she was not careful enough because he was dead and, you know, well, he's dying, and he could only basically like croak out the address, and that was it.
Yep.
So they get attacked. Like, he sets off all his traps and shit. I think the traps did more harm than good, honestly.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah.
Because the he like blows up all the traps. Yeah, you killed a lot of vampires, but you also like blew open your shutters, mm-hmm. blew a big hole in your roof, you know, like, so that was pretty dumb. Anyway, so it'd be a big attack. They basically, you know, get cornered in his basement lab. And in the original ending, he basically takes, you know, finds the one vampire that he had injected again with the cure, but this time he put her on ice to like try to lower the body temperature to see if it would work better. Mm-hmm. And it appears to have worked. So he takes the blood from that cured vampire, gives it to her. He locks her in the coal chute and then pulls a pin on a grenade and then blows up himself and everybody else in the basement.
Yes.
And then the ending is her and the child driving to and finding the conclave in Vermont and then handing them the blood vial. And then supposedly that's how they're going to find the cure and blah, blah, happy ending.
Correct.
The alternate ending is where we find out that he kidnapped a woman vampire. And the vampire that was like trying to kill him this whole time was like the alpha, like kind of vampire that was like smarter and stronger than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was like his mate.
Yep.
And she had a butterfly tattoo, and it's the guy was he was making a butterfly symbol on the glass, like saying like, I just want her back, you know? Right.
Yep.
And so basically at the end of it, he realizes that and then gives her back. And then they kind of have like a weird
understanding
truce. Right. Yeah. At that point, he's like, you don't fuck with us and we won't fuck with you kind of thing.
Yep.
And then that's basically the alternate ending.
Which is probably going to be officially canon considering they're doing a sequel with him in it.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did hear about that.
Him and Michael B. Jordan. Yes.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah, well, it would have to be. Yeah. I mean, I guess they didn't technically show him die, but it would be a hell of a stretch to say, oh, yeah, I survived a grenade explosion right next to my face.
Hey, if Charlton has to survive exploding helicopter, he survived that.
Yeah, who knows? It's a sequel that's whatever. I don't know. I mean, is Will Smith even viable at this point? Because the first one was basically sold on Will Smith. Will Smith his stock has dipped quite a bit since then. I don't know if he's gonna have the juice to sell a sequel.
That remains to be seen.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch it. I won't go to the theater to watch it, but I'll probably watch it.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, you want me to do my highlights first? Because that's the end of the film. Anything else you want to say before?
And I'll throw this out there now. No, I'll say it later. You can go ahead.
Okay, so highlights. I thought it was interesting that they were basically describing CRISPR, but mm-hmm. it not being CRISPR. I thought that was fun. She specifically says they use the measles virus, which CRISPR is not the measles, but it is another virus that's essentially what they did. They reprogrammed that virus to do whatever they wanted to do, which is good. Good part was Sam. I thought Sam was a great dog.
He's the best dog.
She was the best dog, yes. Full name was Samantha. Bob Marley, I like Bob Marley. The entire soundtrack is Bob Marley, pretty much. Good stuff. Bob Marley is like, when I was like super stressed and on vacation, I would like listen to that song every morning to like de-stress while I was drinking coffee. It helps me relax. And again, it's the whole idea of like, you know, the last man alive, you know, like trying to live his life as if he's not just like alone is interesting, right? Like him going to the video store and then like chatting with mannequins, mm-hmm. like to try to have some semblance of normal life it's interesting, right? It's an interesting concept. And we get that in the other two, but I think they take it a little bit further in this one with the mannequins and the kind of like, you know, mentally collapsing.
Yeah.
But that's good. But that's all I got for highs. What do you got?
You know, obviously the vampire creatures, this were the most animalistic we've seen in any of the movies.
Correct.
You know, most far down on that list. So that was interesting. I believe they said that this was essentially, he was naturally immune. So it was interesting they didn't have some weird thing to it, right?
Yeah, there was no vampire bat story. There was there was no injecting himself from a helicopter crash. No, there was nothing. He just was.
Correct. So I like that. That was just because there are people that are naturally immune. And I like that they did that part of it.
Yeah, and he did account for that. You know, he just he's basically saying, like, yeah, there was like 1% of people that were immune, but the problem was 9% of people turning into these hyper aggressive vampire monsters that essentially killed everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's obviously Sam. And he was the most productive, I think, person that we saw in one of these movies, that he was actually kind of thriving.
Well, yeah, he was still, he had a whole lab in his basement. He was still working. Like, still actively working.
And he was, like, actually making meals, not just eating beans from a can.
Right.
And, you know, he had, instead of just wood, he had, like, fucking metal shoulders everywhere. And I wrote them, like, you know what? And he's the one that realized he can't sleep very well in all this shit. Like, I'd say Heston and Vincent Price slept pretty damn well. With people banging on their doors.
Well, outside. They drank themselves to sleep.
I know, but I'm saying
that's why they slept. They both drank themselves into a stupor, and then when they woke up later, they finally went to bed.
Yeah.
So where he was the only one that was like stayed up sober. So that's why he slept in a bathtub with the dog and a gun.
I would too, though.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I would be too.
So that's why I wrote them. Like, yeah, I fully understand why he's doing that.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I like that though. So, those are my highlights. I'll roll into my low points. Obviously, poor Sam.
Yeah.
You never want to see that, but.
Yeah, that's mine. I got Sam on both sides. On mine.
Yeah. And then it's funny that you pointed out, people point out too, you know, because this is Warner Brothers property, right? You know, they're trying to build the hype for Batman v Superman with the billboards everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that. not just that, but.
Obviously, the CGI is atrocious now. I really feel like they should take a movie like this and like kind of redo it. Release it
like redo the special effects. They should do like a remastered version of the movie,
yeah,
where they just like redo the CGI. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's what they should do. I'm not sure you're gonna get deer and wildcats in the city.
Well, okay, gotta look at it this way. They got zoos.
Okay.
The animals, like, if you're a zookeeper, right, and you're dying of the plague, and everyone around you is dying of the plague, what are you going to do?
I mean, maybe they would release them.
I'm just saying that's so, it's not that crazy to have lion. Deer would probably just roam in because, again, deer go where people aren't.
Right.
So if there's no people in the city, I mean, you deer from like, you know, upstate New York are going to wander into the city eventually if there's no one to make noise and stop them. And lions are probably there because of the zoo.
Yeah.
Lions do not hunt or travel like that. That's correct. I mean, there was like the dad lion and the two babies were like literally like walking right next to him while the mom was hunting a deer. That is not how cats hunt.
No. Yeah, so it could have been better for that part. I don't know what video store he was at, but the adult section is right out of the open. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that in the video store.
Well, he might have made that place himself.
It's entirely possible.
If there's no one left in the world to tell you to hide it, then why bother?
Yeah, but if not, I'm like, that was weird. And of course, you know, he's in the G's but somehow was watching Shrek.
Remember Fries?
Yeah.
Fries had a porn section right there. It was just the next row over. Oh. It was just right there. Wasn't behind no counter. Wasn't hidden anywhere. It was right there.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, do I think he had the same ambiance as Heston and Price? No. Do I think he did a good job of it? Yes. But I don't think he felt like he was more action-y. This, you know, they were more sci-fi dystopian future. So I'm not saying his acting was bad. It just, it felt lost in translation in this movie to me.
That's so fair.
That's what I got. How about you?
Yeah, that's again, the CGI is looking a bit aged, and that's sad.
It looks like 90s CGI at this point in time. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, well, it looks like 2007 CGI, which to us right now is ancient, right? That's where CGI goes in the speed of computers. And like, you know, if you had a computer from 2007, it can't do shit, right?
Right.
So that's the thing. You got to gauge it based on that. So, I mean, you brought up an interesting point, right? Should we have remastered movies? It, I mean, it becomes a kind of a gamble, right? Because you might have like the special edition Star Wars movies, right? Where they literally do remaster it, but they decide to change a whole bunch of other shit too while they're there.
Right.
Which is dangerous. Or do you just literally remaster the effects? So it's going to be like
I think just the effects.
Yeah. Well, it's like a game where you have like a remake or a remaster, right? A remaster is you're not changing anything. You're just updating the graphics.
Yeah.
So yeah, they should have like a remaster. That would be interesting. Maybe they should do that before they release the sequel. They should have a remastered.
I think original. So, because then, you know what? I think it'll make the movie better for people that don't want to, that want to watch it and go, this looks like shit.
No, I agree. I agree. It's a good idea. Anyway, holy shit, dude. The first 15 minutes of this movie was just a giant ad.
Yeah,
like every single thing, like, oh, what fancy car do you want to sell? Like, oh, I want to sell my, you know, Cobra Mustang. Okay, we'll put your Cobra Mustang center stage. Oh, you know, Lowe's Theaters, we'll put it right there, right next to Will Smith's head for like full seconds. Like, how many Broadway fucking musicals do you want to fucking advertise? Was, we'll put them all over the place.
There is Wicked, there was The Producers, there was
Rent. Rent. Like, all these fucking Broadway musicals. Like, okay, I get it, but like, literally, I know Times Square is a big fucking ad. But like most of those are like digital signs and they were all still there. But it wasn't only in Times Square. It was like all over the place. Everywhere he went was a fucking ad placement for like the first 15 minutes of the movie. Like when he goes in his kitchen, he's got like Barilla sauces and that's it. His entire cabinet is Barilla tomato sauce.
Yeah.
It's like it gets crazy with the ad placement. Like they must have made a lot of money on ad placement. Okay. And then when he's doing science in the basement in the lab, he's doing it on a fucking iMac.
Yes, he is.
Bullshit. Fucking iMac would not connect to any of those fucking machines. I guarantee you that. Those big pieces of shit. Anyway, Sam, we already talked about Sam. That's sad. And now, as much as I think the Brazilian lady is adorable, her whole story about how God spoke to her... that reads is just insane. Like as soon as I heard that, I would have been like, okay, you and your kid go to Vermont, I'll see you later. Like there's no fucking way I would hang out with that lady after that.
What?
Like I understand you went through a lot of shit, but like, wow, come on now. Like if you have to have like hard reasoning or hard science reason why you think that Vermont is a thing, like literally she was on a Red Cross ship, they could have intercepted any kind of communication or something. But no, it's like, oh, God told me. Like, oh, okay. Here, you can have my Shrek DVD. Now get the fuck out of my house. You know, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then again, lay out like Will Smith, man. Where the hell are we at with Will Smith? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where are we at? Like, what is, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about poor Will Smith.
Yeah,
I don't know, we'll see. I just don't think he has the cred to sell another big vehicle like that.
Michael Not B. Yet. Jordan, though.
Michael B. Jordan, I mean, he's doing well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, this is going to be a Will Smith vehicle.
Yeah.
So, if it's going to be a Will Smith vehicle, does Will Smith have the credit right now, the social credit to be able to pull that off?
No.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see. The world may have moved on.
Correct.
You never know until it comes out and we see the numbers.
Yep. All right. You want me to go first for my number of blood vials out of 10?
Go for it.
I enjoy the movie. I realize I don't enjoy it as much on this rewatch as I think I did back then. And is it now just cultural bias that we now have with Will Smith? I don't know. Like I said, like this, it really, really needs the CGI. Like I said, leave everything else in place. Like they can't even have like something falling from like a ledge onto a car be practical.
Yeah, no, like literally everything is CGI in this movie. Like everything.
Yeah. It hurts it. It really, really does at this point in time. And it just, to me, it's astounding that, you know, we have Lord of the Rings come out 6 years before that. Fucking amazing CGI that you still holds up. Jurassic Park holds up better than this does.
Right.
And I don't know why.
I don't get it either. Like some movies are like fucking timeless and like, you know, and some movies just look like ass. Again, at the time it looked great.
Yeah. But now it takes you out of it.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched it in a long time. And it was like, I haven't watched it. I mean, I remember I bought the first Steelbook I ever got was I Am Legend, and it was a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the only DVD Steelbook I have. went through like the whole Blu-ray generation, and I never bought I Am Legend again. So, like, I think it's been that long since I've watched
it. Yeah. That's really, how do I rate it now? Do I rate it on the bad CGI? Do I rate it on all these nitpicky things now? Because I said, story's good, action's good. It's just, you can't look at the movie without going, this looks like garbage. So I will knock it just a little bit for that. I will go to 6.9 blood vials out of 10. I'm interested to see what they do with the sequel. I'm interested to see if they make his, with what he's doing now, if he will be part of it, whether his death will be canon or not. Don't know. How about you?
I think it's a movie that's worth watching. I mean, the remastered thing would be cool. Mm-hmm. I would really like to see that, but I still think the performances are good. Taking out, you know, whatever Will Smith is. I mean, you know, he wasn't that at that time. So I won't hold against him for what that is. But I mean, I don't think it's as good as the Omega Man. I think I like the Omega Man better. But it's not terrible. So I'll give it,
6.5. Okay. Cool.
Anything else you want to add in there?
I don't think so. Like I said, this is just interesting that we have the same story, like almost beat for beat. And never really call them remakes because everyone just, you know, it took I Am Legend, you know, this long to actually have the title of the book, which is weird to me. It took 50 some odd years.
Well, I Am Legend for the 60s and 70s is too ambiguous of a name. I know the Omega Man is similar, mm-hmm. but I think it's, you know, the Omega Man is for a 70s film, that is the perfect title. Right? Because they liked using words like that. But like I Am Legend, I don't think fits in because people wouldn't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I guess The Last Man on Earth is more accurate to it, but I think they wanted to go for that kind of, you know, 60s type, you know, title, and Last Man on Earth fits that, I think, better than I Am Legend does.
I can see that. So, no, I got nothing else to add. How about you?
All right, nothing from me. So join us next week as we dip our toes into the Cloverfield universe. So that starts with Cloverfield, goes to 10 Cloverfield Lane, and then we have the Cloverfield Paradox. That's the name of the third one, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I didn't even want to look it up. I was just like, I think that's what it is.
Yes.
But yeah, these films may be barely related to each other by tacked on studio magic, but our episode will be as cohesive as ever. Remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.